Welcome to Manage Tools. This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, Rolling Out the Trinity, updated, part 2 of 3.
The questions this cast answers are, how do I implement one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation? Can I start doing feedback right away? And how do I actually introduce each of the tools in the Trinity?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Are you a manager aiming to enhance your leadership impact? The Manager Tools Personal License offers you a comprehensive array of resources, including our roadmap and interview creation tool, as well as being enriched with the precision of our AI chatbot. This tool isn't just any assistant, it's your strategic partner, offering insights based on proven management practices anytime, day or night. Prepare for strategic decision-making, develop effective communication skills, and build stronger teams with guidance that's tailored just for you. Step up your management game by becoming a Manager Tools licensee and see the difference it can make. Decision-making just got easier. Learn more by visiting us online at manager-tools.com today.
Now it's time to begin. Start one-on-ones. We conduct one-on-ones for 12 weeks. This is the only change that you're going to make. It's perhaps the most important concept in the rollout guidance. Managers, please don't try to do too much. Don't try to get all this done at once. It will end up going poorly. You cannot effectively implement the whole Trinity at once. It's too much, if not for you, but it is for your directs. So just because of your directs, there are more of them.
It's not all about you here.
Well, they just don't like all that change.
Yeah, and they're going to send us emails and be like, you created a monster. What have you done? And folks, we don't want to get those emails, okay?
We don't. When there's too much change, really, honestly, none of it goes terribly well. So we recommend letting each of the concepts in the Trinity breathe a little.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time to get past the initial concerns, uncertainties, stress that it causes. All change is stress for your directs. And sure, over time, new things shift from distress to eustress. They shift from eustress into norm, the norm. It doesn't happen in a week. Yeah, it takes time.
Exactly. It takes more than 5 business days.
For sure. It takes time. So here's what we're saying. For 12 weeks, don't introduce any other new managerial behavioral change. Don't do it.
None of it.
Right. Because there's going to be other change at work regardless this time.
That are completely unrelated to the Trinity itself.
There's an old quote. I want to say it's Mae West, but I think I'm getting that wrong. And the quote is, a woman's entire appetite for gambling is satisfied by marriage. That quote just came into my mind because the idea is, if you're changing one-on-ones, and then there's also the regular change at work, their team's entire appetite for change is satisfied by the addition of one-on-ones and the normal course of the business world.
That's exactly it. And folks, 12 weeks sounds like a lot when we say 12 weeks, but it's going to fly by. How many times have you been like, oh my gosh, it's the end of the year already? Oh my gosh, it's the middle of the year already. Like, I mean, it's the year is flying by you at warp speed constantly. You're not even going to notice that 12 weeks has flown by. And at the end of that 12 weeks, your folks are going to know you better and you'll know them better. And you'll be much more aware of how to deliver the next step.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have so much more information. You'll kind of know what their triggers are. You'll know what makes them tick. You'll be a little bit like, okay, I get it. I know them better. And that information alone will help you move to the next bin. Because remember, the purpose of one-on-ones is to build trusting relationships. As hard as it is for some of us to swallow, all the great bosses we know do truly have one thing in common: great relationships with the people on their team. And that's what the initial 12-week period allows you to start building. Even if you think you have a great relationship with them, one-on-ones will make that relationship even sturdier, even stronger, and give the relationship a place for regular communication. And regular communication is something that every relationship needs. And great relationships mean that when there's a pinch, when there's a small problem, something like feedback, for example, when there's a little pinch, it is something that can be addressed before it becomes a major crunch.
Mm-hmm. Conversely, if you rush through one-on-ones, mm-hmm. you're not going to leave your directs with the sense that this is about relationships. They might then even see one-on-ones as a necessary speed bump on the way to your real intent mm-hmm. of negative feedback.
Ooh, your velvet-coated hammer. Perfect. I love it. No, I don't.
It's almost as if you're completely transparent. Be careful. Instead, take your time. Show the team that you not only intend to do these for a long time, but that you're going to invest in them before you expect profit, right? That we're going to take the time to get in the black before we decide to start spending.
Make investments before withdrawals. That's exactly it.
Yeah, don't rush.
Yeah, don't rush. Don't rush through one-on-ones just to get to feedback. Feedback is not your silver bullet. One-on-ones are your silver bullet. Doesn't fly very fast, but it is your silver bullet. And if you start feedback after only a week or two of Manager Tools one-on-ones, you'll be learning two things at once, thus reducing the effectiveness of both of those things at the exact same time, while also sending the wrong message to your team. Folks, even if you, and I don't make this recommendation, but I am saying it as a comparison, even if you never get to feedback, you and your team will perform so much better with one-on-ones than so many of the other managers out there. It isn't even funny. So you don't need to rush through it.
Even if for no other reason than it reduces interruptions. It centralizes conversations. You don't have people popping by your office all the time. They save things that aren't urgent for the one-on-one. The quiet at your desk.
Yeah, the focus.
For focus. Oh, the focus time. I mean, honestly. Another thing not to rush towards, even though we know you're just dying to get there, is negative feedback. Even if you are a nice person, there's a good chance that your directs in the past have worked for somebody who's a jerk, and they did one thing to try to sugarcoat something else.
Yeah.
Your directs got smart. They started waiting for the other shoe to drop. Don't do that to them by being slapdash about one-on-ones, only to quickly and precisely start delivering negative feedback. It will do more harm than good. They'll see through you. They're smarter than that. Show them that you intend to communicate more in general. They'll be really more willing to hear feedback if you've already proven that you're willing to communicate more in general. But if you don't, honestly, they'll reject both. And why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they?
Well, and only just because if you think about it, it's one thing to deliver it. It's quite another. Ask yourself, are they going to accept it and act on it? And why would they? If they don't trust you. I mean, honestly, it's kind of the thought of like, if somebody says to you, like if somebody in public at the grocery store makes a comment to you about your clothes or what you're doing or something, it's like, I'm not going to listen to you. You don't know my situation. You don't know me. You don't know what's going on. You don't know really anything that would cause this set of behaviors to be applicable. And so in the same way, I'm not going to trust somebody at the grocery store who makes a recommendation to me, unless it's about strawberries. Okay. I'm not going to trust a person at work as much. Now, you have role power. The problem is not everybody values your role power enough to say, okay, just because you have role power, I should do this thing that's a recommendation that you're making. And so really, without having trust, why would someone listen to your recommendations? Honestly, even if somebody said to me, oh, the weather, it's going to rain. Like if somebody who's not from Texas tells me it's going to rain today, I'll be like, you don't have street cred here.
Yeah, exactly. You really don't know.
You don't know. So I'm not going to listen to you. So there's that.
Exactly.
Chicago, we're back. This July, we're hosting one of our rare effective hiring manager events in Chicago. July 9th, 10th, and 11th, we will be in the Windy City for 3 days. EMC, ECC, and EHM. Come see us and take advantage of the hiring training we offer. You know that feeling when you've hired the wrong person? It's the worst. And we want to help make sure you never make another bad hire ever again. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training. So we're going to do the work.
We're going to do the work. Exactly.
And 12 weeks.
Which is 12 weeks, exactly. After 12 weeks of one-on-ones, then we can announce the feedback model in a staff meeting. Okay, so it's already been 12 weeks. Now that you've decided to move on to adding feedback to your bag of manager tools and you've been developing better relationships with individuals on the team, you've got to announce it to everyone all at once. Now, feedback, the manager tools feedback model, again, a tool we're not covering in detail in this podcast, has its own series of guidance. Listen to that guidance. And if you do that, you'll know that the manager tools feedback model is absolutely an individual behavior that you deliver to only the individual and never in front of a live audience. However, announcing it, in this case, to your team, says everyone is going to benefit from this necessary form of professional communication. Yes, you're going to roll it out slowly and not evenly, and not everyone's going to get feedback all at the exact same time or all at once, but you still have to tell everybody about it as a group.
So they know that it's not just happening to them.
Yeah, exactly. If for no other reason than the organizational churn. I mean, if I'm the first one to be told, immediately I'm thinking to myself, is everyone else doing this too?
Right. Am I the problem?
Right. And then immediately after the call, I'm going to call my closest work friend and be like, Kate, I just found out I'm getting feedback. Are you like getting feedback? Is this like a thing? Like, and then if she hasn't been told yet, now it's like, I'm not getting it. Oh my gosh, I am the problem. It's this whole thing. I mean, why? Like, you don't need to cause that churn, that waste of organizational bandwidth because everyone's just talking to each other about feedback, or the concern it's going to cause people when you're not telling them all at the same time.
Absolutely. There's so much stress about feedback. Believe us. They won't think about positive feedback. They won't even think that there is such a thing, even if you tell them a million times. My directs still have made an assumption that they're going to hear negative stuff, even though—
Really?
Yeah. Once, when we were about to start positive feedback with my current suite of directs, because obviously there was a time frame where we didn't do it and then we were starting it. And one of my directs, I was with them and they said, and I was like, what's wrong? And their response to that question was, oh, I just realized we're starting feedback soon. Positive. They know. They work here. They know that the first number of weeks is positive.
Yeah. They've all been to their training. They've all been told this many, many times. It's what we do.
They know well enough to know exactly when it's going to start, right? They
and,
know exactly the number of
like.
Weeks. Yes. And that was the level. Like a gasp. We were driving. I thought there was like a deer.
Right.
Because it was dark. It was on the road from the beach, right, to the house. And so I honestly thought there was a deer and that we were going to crash. But that was just about positive feedback. So even if you've done all the things to educate them, including 18 years of talking about positive feedback.
Right, yeah, exactly. We repeated it a thousand times.
Feedback is emotionally inherently negative for a portion of your team. It's far better to give them a chance to recognize that other people are having the same experience and the same response, and then to hear the questions and in the group have this conversation. So they don't think they're the only ones. They know that this is normal, but then also that we're really transparent, right? It's like, oh, no, here's the whole thing. Here it's laid out. And okay, there's also a more realistic reason. If you have to do it in the one-on-ones, you have to do it over and over again.
Yeah, seriously.
If you have 10 directs, you have to say it 10 times
individually. How inefficient.
Oh my gosh. You're going to waste the whole one-on-one.
Yeah, for every one of your directs.
Everyone's going to hear a slightly different message. And because life is a game of telephone, they'll all internalize it differently. And they won't be able to say, well, that's not what I heard, because they will have heard something different because
they all did.
Heard it. Yeah. Yes. And then, okay, now you're going to end up having this experience that's super negative over and over again. Whereas just once, also because if you, let's say, have shared some of the podcast with one of your directs and they know what's going on, even if they just stumbled upon feedback, like this happened to me once, right? Where I told one of my directs about the podcast in a completely separate conversation and not here at Manager Tools. they knew about feedback. So when they were in the staff meeting where we talked about it, the announcement, they actually spoke up and said, oh, hey guys, by the way, I have like been listening to this podcast about this because I'm interested in it. And these three points to the positive. And they made these points. And it was just so much easier.
Yeah.
So that could also happen, right? You have this negative conversation happening and somebody in your team is like, well, actually, what about
this? I'd
like
more feedback.
I'd like more, which our data suggests every single week we ask, do you guys want more feedback? And every single week, 80% of the team that we're talking to raises their hand. So, okay.
Exactly. Okay. So yes, we're going to do it in a staff meeting, which means again, scheduling 30 minutes during your staff meeting, or again, a 30-minute meeting to talk specifically about this. And folks, we've seen managers trying to shoehorn this into like 10, 15 minutes. That's not enough. It's really not enough. It's really not a good plan. Maybe you finish in 20 minutes of the 30 minutes that you allotted. Lucky you. But when it comes to important agenda items, it's so much better to overschedule and be short than to have to rush through something that's really important. Because, and this is not your intent, but what is a true outcome of rushing through an important topic is they get the impression that you just don't want to talk about the topic or you're not really open to questions. And because they got the impression, they won't ask any questions. And you'll wonder why you didn't get any questions, but there will be questions. People just didn't share them with you because
they'll talk to each other.
They'll talk to each other. You're rushing through an important topic, made them feel like you weren't really open to getting questions and they won't have asked you. And you would so much rather be, again, the person fielding the questions and setting the ease. And you know what? We don't know the answer to that. We'll figure it out. And again, then you email us. customerservice@manager-tools.com. And we tell you. Yeah.
And we'll even, if you'd like, you can email us and we'll tell you, here are our materials.
Yeah.
Because we do recommend you use them. We don't want to make this hard for you. We actually are here to try to make your life better and easier. And we have a feedback model summary sheet document that covers
on
the steps.
The podcast page for this podcast.
Yep. And it's free and you can get it. And you can hand it out to your directs. And if you email us, we can send you a nice little package of stuff if you want it. It'll just make it easier for them to, again, receive feedback. It's so much more likely that they'll meet your expectations if they know your expectations. They will try. They will do their best. Even if they do have questions, things like that, that's okay. It's okay for people to be disconcerted by change. This is something that works. You can share with them all the good news. You don't even have to do it. You could just be like, here is the node on the map of the universe from the Manager Tools website of all the stuff. Please go listen. Please
They're
do.
Podcasts.
Because
lots of people
someday
like
you may. Podcasting is cool now. I said that the other day. I said, I hear that podcasting is cool now. And somebody said, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, I live in Austin.
It wasn't always.
There's that. And if you live in Austin, they just tell you what's cool, which is helpful because I probably wouldn't know otherwise. Over the weekend, I found out something is really cool, apparently. And I was like, oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are some things that I've heard that I just don't get it.
Yeah, the thing that I found out.
Pretty sure I never was, but.
Me neither, dude. I have photographic evidence from the previous ages of my life that prove that I was not.
And I'm the coolest I've ever been, and I'm not cool. So that's.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good.
This is the coolest I've ever been.
I know, right?
So true. So true. Okay. So this is as cool as, this may be my peak level of cool, just for the record. I might be able to draw a line in the sand here. I might start regressing soon. Honestly, just because it sounds nice, like bedtime, really early bedtimes, you know, that sounds really great. Okay. Back to the briefing.
Yeah. In your briefing, you're going to cover the purpose of feedback, which is to encourage effective future behavior.
Yep.
Unfortunately, there have been way too many bad bosses over the years. And the fear your directs are going to feel about feedback is going to cause them to attribute to you motives that you are incredibly unlikely to have in your heart. So you've got to counteract that sign that exists on your forehead that says, I'm your boss. And tell them plainly why you're using the feedback model. Positive feedback is about them doing more of the same in the future. Negative feedback is about not punishing the past, rather, is about encouraging a change in their behavior in the future. If I give you this information, you'll be more equipped to approach that situation more effectively the next time you're in it.
Yeah, that's definitely one way to say it. And I would also, you can also think about it and say another thing, which is I've got an obligation to help you be at your best, very best, every day. If you're like me, you're not always sure that your good work is being recognized or that it's what is wanted by your boss, and you're not sure if you're always doing it exactly right or certain if there's not a better way, the feedback model is just a way for us to talk about what you're doing and what the results are. It's not about punishment. It's about doing more good and less bad.
Yeah.
It's about the future. And you can say that to them.
Yeah, say that to them. I mean, if you've got these show notes, you can copy that and read the script that essentially Kate read there a couple of times so that you can say that. But feedback's not about the past at all. It's not about punishment. It's always about giving information to help people be better. And I actually had an individual recently come up to me at the end of an manager tool session, an effective manager. And she said, when is my boss going to learn this? Because I asked for feedback. And they told me, I don't like giving feedback. So if I don't say anything, assume it's good.
Ow.
I know. And I was like, ooh, she's like, I did not like it. That feels like a cop-out. I'm like, you are absolutely right. That is a cop-out.
Yeah, it's laziness.
Expect people to go through life assuming they're doing good unless I say something different. That's not fair. That's really, really, really unkind.
It is. And, you know, I would go a step further. I would say, one, I think a lot of professionals have some things, two or three things, maybe just one thing that they do consistently that they feel adds a lot of value that they don't really feel recognized for. Like, I know there's a person on my team who gets up every day and she's at her desk really early. And when we have early sessions and stuff,
yeah.
And you have someone on your team also who's always at their desk early. And I think, sure, these people both get up pretty early or because of their time zone, they're up before some people. I don't think that's all that they're doing. I actually believe that my team member is also at her desk. Like, she's at her desk, she's green on Slack, and I recognize that there's a chance, and look, I don't know, we haven't talked about it, but there's a chance that person feels that they're going above and beyond in a way that's helpful. And I would suggest that's accurate. We've had some situation where it's like, you're up early. I know that that person is, they're always helpful. They yep. always answer the phone. And don't those people, like, isn't there something people deserve? Like, just like, hey, thank you. Positive feedback for that. I think that's part of it, is people go above and beyond in these certain little areas and they feel that it's unrecognized. And also, I think it's really unfair to deny people the information they need to do better. If somebody told me that they were, and you and I had this conversation, because I remember once I was like saving something in a different folder or something, trying to be helpful, and it was actually making things worse because it was making like extra clicks for somebody. We were talking about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, this was mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
A million years I've written over the memories.
I felt really bad because the person was trying to be kind
yeah.
and not tell me, hey, you did this thing and it's actually bothering me. Could you please stop? They were trying to be kind. I just felt differently about it, that I was denied the information I need to act on the opportunity to do better. Like, it was an opportunity for me to make everybody's lives easier, and I didn't have the information.
I didn't have the information.
Yeah. And so when you continue to have a problem, you might be continuing to have a problem because that person doesn't have you're not presenting them yeah, the opportunity.
They just don't have the information.
I feel like I would like to be given the opportunity to perform in a way that is valuable. And sometimes I'm not given it because I don't have the information.
Yeah, it's an unfair set of circumstances for us to
yeah.
put our directs in, because we wouldn't want to be there ourselves. So why would we visit those same ills on them? That's really not good.
For sure. And we've gone afield again.
Yeah, I know we have.
I've led us astray.
But also, folks, what this conversation should lead you to remember is the 90-10 starter rule. So for those managers who still haven't heard us, the feedback model is not a way to finally tell your staff how much they've been messing up lately. This is the necessary reminder. The vast majority of things that happen in your organization are good things. You just don't see that because you're so busy looking for mistakes. The vast majority of things that you supervise are done reasonably well. You just don't see them because, like the rest of all the managers on the planet Earth, you're out there looking for problems. You're finding exceptions. You're identifying failures and things that should have been better. You are literally trained to manage by exception as opposed to manage by reality. And the reality of this is, if you're still the manager of this team and you have been for any length of time, things are going pretty well. Because there's,
I sometimes
use sports analogies, but there's a good sports analogy buried in this concept. What's the first thing that happens in the off season after the team had a terrible season?
The coach gets fired.
You fire the coach. That's exactly it.
Or folks, if you're Sean Payton, you fire the kicker.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. But you're the coach, folks. You're the coach. If you're still the coach of the team, you're doing it reasonably well. They're doing it reasonably well. Things are so much better than you think they are. Because again, you're bathing yourself in this stew of all of the things that are going wrong. And in terms of your paradigm in this case, your paradigm is that everything's fine. I'm busy. Don't interrupt me unless there's a problem. And this is the world you're creating for yourself. But that means the only things that rise to your attention are by definition problems. Your paradigm is not the world. It's just proof that we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And our guidance about the 90-10, 90% positive, essentially, positive feedback, is about helping the negative scales fall from your eyes and encouraging you to see all of the positives that happen around you every day. More positive feedback is always the answer.
That's it for this week, y'all. Join us next week for a continuation of this topic.